fall sports season. But first and foremost, again, glad you've joined us here on the Coach's Corner Show. And we kick off the show this evening welcoming in Dakota State University football head coach Josh Anderson. And Coach, good evening. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, yeah. Always a pleasure. Glad to be back on the air this week.
There we go. Well, coming off of an impressive home victory and a first conference win of the season, but we take a step back and reflect upon the Saturday Priors game. Hit the road to open up NSAA play for the fall, headed up to Valley City. Ended up being a pleasant weather day up there, but not so much in the final score. And I know pregame you and I talked about having the attitude, the same attitude each week, whether win or lose. And, you know, felt like that was a good game where you had opportunities, and one of those truly the cliche is, you know, leaving points out on the field, and that's what happened in that matchup against the Vikings.
Yep, it truly was. I felt like we did a great job defensively. Held them to 3 points. You know, the only touchdown they scored was a pick six that we just made a mistake trying to get the ball out of bounds. Mm-hmm. Didn't quite get it out of there, and they made a good play. And I didn't really think it would be a problem at the time. I obviously didn't care for it, but I thought, you know what, we're doing just fine. It was early in the game. We're moving the ball, but we just could not find the end zone enough. We were inside the 20 enough times. We had the wind at our back. We left 10 points on the field with just field goals and PATs. We were 0 for 3, unfortunately, and 0 for 1 on the PAT. And so got that blocked. That necessarily wasn't the kicker's fault. And so, you know, it was just a weird day. We couldn't find the end zone offensively when we needed to, you know, and then just struggled uncharacteristically in our kicking game. And so, but again, just defensively, they kept us in the game, did a fantastic job, and it was just one of those weird head-scratching days. You know, you walked off the field going, I feel like we just really beat them up physically and played better than them and somehow found a way to lose. It just didn't feel right, and it was frustrating. But unfortunately, those things happen. Eventually, if you play long enough, you have some of those games, despite, you know, they're not fun, but Valley City is a good team. You just, you know, you can't put yourself behind the eight ball with either turnovers or, you know, we turned the ball over inside the 20, going in late to score, and just crazy things that were uncharacteristic of us.
One thing is this season has gone on, and perhaps maybe the first week is a little bit of an outlier. You know, it was a rivalry matchup. You had all training camp, and the offense moved the ball, but then the next game was a step back, and then something that we have discussed, but I feel like as the season has gone on, and especially with this past game, which we'll get to in a bit, there's more of a balance offensively, and we're starting to see that guys getting a lot more comfortable. You know, it was something that we lamented a little bit about early on, you know, that the balls were there, but the plays were not being made. We're starting to see that, and even in that Valley City game, we saw a couple of guys that really stepped up, and so as the season has progressed, yes, the offense is starting to get much better balance, which is what you want.
Yep, no doubt. You know, in that Valley City game, again, just was crazy. We finally had a receiver over 100 yards. Deshaun Keel is a true freshman, and, yep, you know, made some big plays and some big catches. You know, dropped one at the end to win the game, caught it, and then landed and just kind of dropped out of his hands. It was a weird situation. It happened. It was unfortunate. I know he was bummed, but, you know, he's going to be a big asset for us. Just moving on as the season progresses, as well as into the future. He's just a fantastic young man, great athlete. And, you know, their kicker then sealed the deal. He forced us to have to score a touchdown at the end of the game. He made his career long, having the wind at his back. And, you know, they didn't have a very good kicking game, but he somehow made that one. You know, it was just a weird day.
It was.
Things just, for whatever reason, didn't want to go our way offensively, you know, and in the special teams kicking game. But like I said, defensively, it just was just flat out outstanding. It was awesome. The number one rusher in the nation in the NAIA, we held him to 37 yards in the first half. So Coach Hobbs and the boys on defense, all the coaches and players were just making fantastic plays. Riley Yonke had a tremendous game. Marcus Vandenbosch, the boys up front, it was fun to watch. It's really fun to watch us have such an outstanding aggressive defense. And so, yeah, offensively, it was nice to be able to move the ball. As much as we did, we just didn't score for some reason. It was just odd. You know, we had over 400 yards, right at 400 yards, yep, you know, just under, I guess I should say. And so it just was weird walking off the field with a loss after it felt so successful.
One thing as well with the defense, and much like kind of the opposite of the offense, the defense, since the first game, they've been locked in. And really the depth of the front line, most of the time we – most of the time the starting four linebackers stay out there, but the depth of the defensive line and the confidence from the second level to the back level, it's been there all season long, and we've, you know, talked about it, but still seeing it on the field, it just seems like the best is yet to come with this defense.
I agree. You know, it's just a it's just the start, you know, and it's been fun. It's been really fun to watch because it's something we've been missing here. We've had really good athletes. We've had really good situations, but now we've got, like, just a full defensive unit that's doing awesome. And we haven't had to sub too much because, quite honestly, we've been getting off the field, either with turnovers or turnover on downs and or forcing punts. And so we haven't really had to delve too deep into our depth up front or in the back set, you know, with our defensive backs and linebackers, like you're saying. They haven't really had to sub out too much. They're just playing fantastic. All they're doing is what they're coached to do and having success with it. And obviously that gains trust in the players and in the coaching staff. And so it's fantastic. And, you know, and we are starting to move the ball offensively. We're getting the first downs. We're getting the yards. Obviously this last game we got the points. You know, Brody was over 100 yards this last game with presentation. So that's two games in a row where we've had an individual over 100 yards receiving.
Yep.
And so, you know, things are starting to click. You're right. And this back half of the season, these last five games, obviously we want to just continue with that momentum on offense to match the statistical efforts on defense.
And it's interesting, too, and something that I've just been kind of thinking in my head here the last 24, 48 hours. You know, you sit here at 3-2 and 1-1 in conference play. I mean, this team truly is a couple plays of being an undefeated team. It isn't, and that's just the way it is. Can't lament too much. But the one thing is that it's, you know, a glaring difference home and the road so far this season. And, again, we're going to get some road games coming up, and we'll talk about those down the road. But for whatever reason, it's at home you guys have put up 33, 38, and 43 points. And then on the road it's been 10 points and 6 points. So for whatever reason, and – last year, you went 1-5 at home. This year, already 3-0. So, again, it's just interesting stuff to look at. It is what it is. But, unfortunately, the two road games have been that both, again, I think you would agree, you walk off the field saying, boy, that felt like a game that we should have or could have won.
Yeah, no doubt. I can't explain it either because you're right. In the past, it's just kind of like the offense and defense. You know, offensively, we've always been super productive and always hoping we would get things done defensively to match. That's flipped. That's fantastic in my opinion. You've got to have a good defense to have any kind of success or to be in the game at the end of the game to have a chance to win. And then in the past, yeah, we've struggled winning at home and not on the road, and this year it's just the opposite. Well, you know, so it's odd, but Briarcliff still number two defense in the NAI.
Yep.
And, you know, and then Valley City is just always a good team. And so it's, you know, and to play them after they came off a bye week, the first game of the conference, a home game for them and for, you know, for us to be in the ballgame and have every opportunity to win.
Yep.
And you're right. We were right there. We could be 5-0, but we're not. So we'll just keep plugging away. No doubt about it. We'll always regroup and we'll keep plugging along. And, you know, if we have injuries, you know, the next guy up, we had two offensive linemen this last game that for the previous game were starters that were out, and guys stepped up, stepped in, did a fantastic job. So it's just, it's really good to see and be a part of this program because we're just truly moving in the right direction. You know, I keep telling them we don't have to reload, like we're there. You know, we just need to continue to make plays.
Yep.
And this is just another great opportunity coming up this weekend with Dickinson State, the four-time defending conference champs, and we always play them well, but, you know, we've got to make sure we play the full four quarters if we want to have a chance to, you know, win in a game like this, because, you know, they will. They're going to be sound for four quarters. They'll play hard and do things right, and so we've got to just do a better job of that ourselves. So I look forward to having them at home. We only play them once this year instead of, like, twice last year. To play them at home is even better for us, and so, you know, we're in a good situation. We just got to do our job.
We're chatting DSU football this Wednesday evening here on the Coach's Corner Show on AM 1390 and AmazingMadison.com. Head coach Josh Anderson in the studios here once again. And, you know, you come off of a loss. You know, it was certainly a different feel coming home from Valley rather than coming home from Briar. I thought two different feels. The guys, I think, were a little more loose and maybe realizing, okay, you know, we are there. We need to make those plays. And going into last Saturday's game, I felt like the team was going to be ready to go at home once again, and happened to be a very windy day, but it is a Saturday in the fall, and came out, scored on the first drive of the game offensively, and then probably the worst stretch for the defense this year, in at least for a quarter, and then after the first quarter, it was, a landslide. Really, I thought at the end of that game, it was like, yep, that was one of those games where all three phases showed up. And I think the defense limited presentation to less than 50 yards in the second half. And again, forcing turnovers, turning those turnovers into points, and the passing game came alive. And that was huge.
Yeah, with that windy game, and we kicked off with the wind at our back, and so they were throwing into the wind in that first quarter and had 14 points, and it was through throwing the ball. They had a total of 16-yard rushing the entire game.
Yeah.
And so our defense shut that down, and for them to come out and throw the ball as well as they did, they haven't shown to be too successful throwing the ball and then having to doing it into the wind. Good for them. They did a fantastic job. And yeah, it took one quarter for us to just kind of see what they were doing offensively and defensively. They came out with a completely different package for us defensively than we had practiced all week. And so we did go down and score in that first drive. We had some good success, and after that we kind of struggled and stalled out. I think we ended up scoring two touchdowns in the second quarter to take a halftime lead. But, you know, there was some frustration at halftime, not in the sense that, you know, what are we doing? It was like, doggone it, you know, they're doing this. All right, you know what, let's just counter with this and we'll be just fine. And it was just concerning because with all that wind, you're worried. When you have a big wind at your back, sometimes the ball sails and you miss routes. And sometimes when you have the wind in your face, you don't get enough on it and you're short on routes and it turns into a lot of turnovers. But for some reason, even with that wind, you know, like I said in the first quarter with presentation, they were throwing the ball at will.
Yep.
And then we just finally went to it in the last three quarters and had over 300 yards passing. And ended up having Torn, our quarterback, be the conference player of the week because of it. And so they sold out to stop the run, you know, and they did a good job of it. We still had over 100 yards rushing, 128, I think, and Brody had 80, but not his typical, you know, huge, huge rushing game. And that's fine. They sold out to that, so we ended up just countering with what we could do passing the ball, and it obviously worked out really well in our favor.
The other thing, not only the passing game coming alive, but four different receivers catching a touchdown, their first touchdowns of the year. And, you know, the big one was there at the end of the first half. I believe it was a fourth down play. Cooper McDermott was open over the middle. And, that was the momentum shifter. You were able to grab the lead right before halftime. I think it was right around 28 seconds left. But it was a fourth down play. And good blocking up front and a great just a kind of deep post route. And it's one of those where when you make that play and you score the touchdown, you're like, yes, all right. On the other side, it's like, how do we just let that happen? But that was it was part of a 37 unanswered point stretch.
Yeah.
But that one I thought was, I don't want to say the backbreaker, but just like, okay, I had a feeling at halftime that things were going to go well in the second half, and they did. But to be able to convert fourth down and get that, that was the second passing touchdown, I believe, of the quarter, just seemed like all of a sudden the ball was starting to roll.
Yeah, Deshaun came back on that first touchdown in the second quarter and made a nice play on the ball. Torn put that up, and it was in the air. And if it was longer than 15 yards downfield, it sort of turns into a knuckleball after that. And he came back, made a catch in the end zone, and then Cooper on that fourth down play, you know, that was supposed to be a lot shallower of a route,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't do, again, their typical defense that we practiced and saw on film. And so he just was smart enough to take it deeper, and Torrance saw it and also just put some touch on it and put it down deep. Obviously, it was fourth down. He knew he had to just try and make something happen, and then they ended up connecting over the top and obviously caught it in the end zone and ended up being a bigger play than it really was designed to be. And so that's just a matter of being heads up, having the time and protection to step into the pocket and see that and make that throw, but also to know where to put it to give our receiver a chance. And then Cooper understanding, you know, just how football is supposed to work and that particular play and making those adjustments on the fly. So just really pleased because Cooper this is his first year playing college football. He's a sophomore in school, but he's a redshirt freshman because he came here to play baseball. And so, you know, he's young. The rest of our receivers are young. Torrin's young. But just seasoned, smart veteran players. Cooper's dad is the head coach at his high school, you know, football coach. And so, and he also played receiver here. So you can just tell Cooper is really savvy and understands the game. And then, of course, Torrin, our quarterback, all he does is draw plays when he has free time. So he's all about football and just football smart. So they're fun to be around. They're just a really good group of guys. And like I've been telling people, too, like our receivers, it's crazy. They block. They block well. They're very aggressive.
Yes.
And usually that's the last thing that a veteran receiver will do right. And, you know, running routes and catching the ball, they want to do that too. But, man, they just do a great job of perimeter blocking.
And that has been evident, and I will admit maybe something I haven't called out as much as I should. We'll certainly be looking for that this Saturday. And then, you know, you move to the third quarter, and it becomes a landslide of a game. Four scoring drives in that third quarter, three touchdowns and a field goal. I believe they were plays of 4, 3, 2, and 1. Not necessarily in that order, but they were quick strike. One was off of a turnover, but two big plays there was the 60-yard touchdown pass to Treshawn Roberts where, I mean, talk about just going on a vertical route, and Torrin did it. And it's happened a couple games where I felt like Torrin has made good, deep throws, putting it only where the receiver could make a play. Now, they haven't always made the play, but this was one where Treshawn just kind of used his lengthy big frame and came right underneath it and was able to get away from a diving tackle. I mean, it was just a beautiful, beautiful football play.
It was. It was a great route, and it was the first varsity game that Treshawn's played. This is his third year being here, and, you know, he's really started to come alive and started to show some things on the scout team and the first, you know, in the first few games.
Yep.
You know, that really caught our attention, and some of the players as well were saying, you know, Treshawn's doing a really good job. We should take a look. So we brought him up, and obviously he came through for us big time, and I think he's just going to get better and better. He's really long. He's you know, tall, and he's fast.
Yep.
He'll go up and get a ball, and that's what we need right now is we need some veteran guys to just attack the ball, and he does a good job of that, and he's only going to get better. And so, yeah, and we had a few drops. You know, it's always been kind of an issue.
Yep.
Practice today, practice yesterday. Still having some catch issues, but we've had to rotate some guys around in the wide receiving core to make sure we got the right pieces in the right spots.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the age, despite how much experience they have, we just got to get them going. And I feel like at this part of the season, we've done that, and we've kind of, like you've said, we've kind of balanced out the run and pass, which couldn't have happened at a better time because obviously presentation did everything they could to stop Brody Frederickson, and I wouldn't say they stopped him, but they did hold him under 100 yards rushing, which is tough to do. So, but that was just a heads up, you know, a heads up decision by our offense coordinator, Coach Kretschmar, to just, you know, hey, we're going to stick with the run. We're going to do this, this, and that until it was just obvious they weren't going to allow it. And so it was like, all right, well, then we got to get over the top, and we're able to do that.
And interestingly enough, Brody only 80 yards on the ground, did have 123 yards receiving. So over 200 yards from scrimmage. And then, you know, another big play in the third quarter was a halfback fly out of the backfield. And, you know, again, don't know what presentation, what they were thinking defensively, again, is what it is. But, I mean, it boggles my mind that you leave the best player on the field wide open by 10, 15 yards, not once, but twice. And the first time he got inside the 10, the next time he found the end zone, it was basically the same play, just a halfback fly route. And they didn't put anyone on him, and he was wide open by 10, 15 yards each time that he made a catch. So, you know, there it's obviously it's a great offensive play call. And then you got greedy, went back to it. It was wide open again, even getting even better results. And it's like, okay, well, that's the way that this third quarter has gone. And it was just from the press box, as soon as the ball was out, I was like, oh, no. I mean, this is going to the house, and it went, and it did.
Yeah, it's fun. Being the quarterback coach and just kind of going through the reads in the game, too, I see that stuff. And it's fun because you're like, oh, we got it. Here it is, you know, and they let him go again. And just, you know, either way, I don't know. It was just a little unsettling, you know, how aggressive they were with trying to stop the run, thinking either we couldn't pass or we couldn't beat them with the pass. And then it was just, we just ran the same play out of a different formation to kind of mix it up a little bit, and ended up getting Brody down the middle wide open again as well. And so it's fun when things work out. Obviously, when it doesn't, you got to make changes. It's a bit frustrating, but that's also part of the chess match of the game, you know. And so when Brody was running routes, we could see that they weren't manning up on him. We thought, well, let's try and get him down the middle, and it worked back-to-back plays because the one series, like you said, was a two-play series. Brody caught one. We gave him guff because he cut right back into the two defenders. I think if he'd have cut left, he probably would have scored on that play too. So on the sideline, we were really good coaches and teammates in rubbing it in his face. And he loved it. And so when we set up on the sideline again, we called the same play again, you know, he was all excited. He's like, I'm scoring this time. And so when he did, he came walking up going, is that good enough for you guys? You know, and it's fun. Obviously, when things are going well, you can have that kind of banter on the sideline. So, you know, we got to play him again. And I'm sure it'll be another fun game. Presentation is young. New coaching staff, basically a wholesale change in the entire staff, the administration up there.
Yep.
They're going to do nothing but get better and better.
Yep.
And so, you know, we'll take advantage of this season the way it is. And then from the future, we've just got to, you know, just like anybody in our conference, we've got to make sure we're solid every week.
Final comment of the presentation game. The only points in the fourth quarter was a safety snap over the head of Caleb Nielsen. And just said it on Saturday, he did the right thing. Ball was bouncing and just hit it out of the back of the end zone. Don't overthink the situation. You know, you're up big, and it was, I mean, time was not of the essence. There wasn't a lot of time left in the game, but it was good to see, even up that much, that the right play was made. And just punching it out of the back of the end zone, sometimes you have to take your lumps, but that, I thought that was just good to see that he didn't panic. And just, again, it was tough snap. It is what it is. And he made the right play. It's just, that's good to see.
Yeah. Cause that's something we haven't practiced, you know, but Caleb's a 4.0 student, and this is his second year of being our punter, but it's his third year of college football because he redshirted for a year.
Yep.
And so he understands the game. He's a really good punter, you know, and so just understands the game and the situation and knew what to do, was headsy enough to figure that out on the fly and not turn a bad situation into something worse. So I was very pleased. Obviously, didn't want it to happen, but the way he responded and how he reacted and just kind of slid into it and kind of pushed it out of the back of the end zone was incredibly smart of him.
Coach, as we take a look at our upcoming matchup here, Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock kickoff against Dickinson State, as the Blue Hawks will hopefully be able to make their way down here. Some big storms moving through the area. And chatted with Coach Stanton earlier today. It sounds like they're going to be able to get down here. But a big matchup, as you mentioned earlier, four-time defending conference champions in the Blue Hawks, and we were just talking off the air, you know, a program that really is a model program at the NAIA level, and Coach Stanton, his sixth year at the helm, his 20th year overall, and he was played at Dickinson State, and so they bring a lot to the table. They're good offense, they're good defense. I believe a four-year starter in Hayden Gibson, and he's a coach's son. His dad Mark is the head coach up at Bismarck High. I'll probably bring that up again as well during the game, but just a really well-rounded program, and you have to bring your A game.
Well, and a great high school coach, too, at Bismarck High. Yeah. I mean, he's had ample success. I mean, that's just a football-smart family. And Hayden has shown that on the field, his decision-making, you know, his ability to make plays, throwing the ball, running the ball, and just not forcing, you know, bad throws and things like that. His reads, you know, they're fantastic. And he's a perfect fit for their Blue Hawk offense. You know, they're very simple. They're just very sound, and they do things very, very well. And that's the nice part, honestly, about their program, that you want to try to emulate offensively and defensively. You don't have to do anything flashy. You just have to do it well and, you know, better than your opponent on a consistent basis. And that's why they've had such success, in my opinion. They're coached well. They have good players. They buy into the program. They're also players that have been there a long time, like you talked about with Hayden being a four-year starter. There was a few years where, you know, he kind of took some reps when he was young with another quarterback, but got great, you know, great amount of playing time. And so, you know, he's just a really good quarterback and been a part of those conference championships. He knows how to handle situations. There's really not much you can throw at him that young man can't handle or audible out of. So if you want to beat him, you got to out-program them in the offseason, and you got to out-recruit them, and that is incredibly difficult to do.
It'll be interesting as well, throwing in Mother Nature once again. could be a little damp, to say the least, come Saturday. Madison High School is also scheduled to play at home on Friday as well. So I'm thinking it's going to be an old-fashioned football game come Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I'd imagine they'll be loading the box and trying to stop the run. It's going to be probably very difficult to even try to pass the ball. You never know around here with the weather. It could be could turn out to be sunny and 70 with a wet field, or, you know, it could be snowing and minus 20, and you just you got to be prepared for everything and anything from one half to the second half. But the things I've been telling our guys is, you know, hey, they gotta play in the same conditions on the same field. Madison's playing Friday night, and I don't think the weather's going to be very cooperative at all. And so for them to get their game in, it's going to be important for them to just do as good as they can, as quick as they can. Just like last Friday, they had to go up to Millbank and play in all that rain and wetness. You know, it's not ideal, but they found a way to win. And so they'll have another situation where they've got to fight through the elements, and we'll have to do the same thing on Saturday. And you know, I talked to Coach Stanton as well. He's also their AD, so he let me know today they're going to try to get out here, but if they can't, they'll, you know, we'll just have to maybe reschedule. I doubt that'll happen, but we're prepared for it. They're prepared for it. It's just one of those things you can't control. There's nothing to fret about. If you got to play on Sunday or Monday, it just it's just the way it is. We both hope to get it done on Saturday because we both have games the following week. But, again, just nothing you can do if you can't drive through a storm, or the bus company won't let you with all the wind, the 40-mile-an-hour winds and the storms and things like that. So we'll just be ready when it's time to play, and we'll just do the best we can at the time. But, yeah, Dickinson State, man, they're always tough. They're always going to be good.
Well, it's going to be a fun matchup, and yeah, hopefully Saturday is the day, and we'll wait and see. And, you know, for those that are unaware, it does sound like North Dakota's, there are some places there, over these next 5 days, could see a couple of feet of snowfall. So we're kind of on the edge down in Madison, I will say that, but we are expected to see some less than ideal weather and precipitation. We'll again wait and see what Mother Nature does have in store, but it makes for interesting ways. Before we let you go, obviously, you know, this is the second half of the regular season, this game, as there will be four games after that, and then back-to-back road games, and gonna see Waldorf and Mayville State, and that, you know, Waldorf, they've had a fairly decent season so far, and looks like that is a team that resilience. They took Dickinson State to overtime, so it'll be interesting. I think this is a big game for a few different reasons. But I'm hoping that the home field advantage that Dakota State has played with so far this year does come out on Saturday.
Yep, we got Waldorf next, and honestly, they're good enough to be conference champs this year. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, they lost in overtime to Dickinson up there. They beat Dickinson last year at home in Waldorf in Forest City, Iowa, and so they're a solid program, very well coached as well. We have our hands full this week. We have our hands full next week. We'll have to play Valley City again. Mayville State, brand new coaching staff, but they've got a lot of returning veterans on their team. I know they're struggling a little bit this year, but again, just one of those teams like presentation. You just can't look past them. They have the abilities. You know, it's just tough. Obviously, I told the boys today, I'm like, you know, if we got to play them on Saturday or Sunday or Monday, it stinks because we have a game the next week that's also pretty important, but there's nothing more important than this game first. Let's just take care of Dickinson, and then we'll figure out whatever different situations and schedules and scenarios we need to do. If we need to have just walk through, talk through, allow our bodies to heal up. We've had to do that in the past where we had to cancel a game and go play on a Monday and then follow it up with a Saturday game. So we've had to do it before. We can handle it. We know how to practice it. It's going to be fine. Just don't overlook, obviously, this game. Mm-hmm. Dickinson's just that important.
Dakota State 3-2 on the year, 1-1 in NSAA play. Back in action this Saturday, 1 o'clock kickoff from Trojan Field, and should be a fun game. Mother Nature's going to probably have a little bit of a say, and like I said, I think it's going to be an old school football game. Coach, thanks a lot for stopping in here this evening. We'll let you go, and we'll catch up down the road.
Yeah, I really enjoy talking with you. Thanks for having me.